Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Happy Pride from Tomboy X. We just dropped our Pride 24 collection. Queer founded, queer run, and creating size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies. So you feel comfortable in your own skin. Visit TomboyX.com to shop.
Hey, BFF family, we've got some exciting news.
That's right. If you live in Los Angeles, honestly, even if you don't live in Los Angeles, we will be live, loud, and in color at the Elysian Theater on October 11th.
Ooh, girl, what time?
7:30 p.m. And we've got some amazing guests with us, too, to celebrate National Coming Out Day. And my birthday, which is the day before.
Ooh, girl, I know that's right. Join me, Joho, Travell Anderson, Sean Jocelle, and Xavier DeLoe as we celebrate the BFF experience. Head over to ElysianTheater.com to get your tickets today.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 306, episode 5 of The Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into American shared consciousness, and it is Friday, September 29th, 2023.
Yes, that means it is Urban National Wildlife Refuge Day. It's also National Coffee Day. And also, last Friday in September is National Gay Men's HIV AIDS Awareness Day. All those.
There you go.
All happening last Friday. All the coming at you.
Coffee day. I am observing coffee day. I've had about a pot of coffee so far this morning.
You have
for no reason.
For real?
No good reason. Yeah.
Did you do Vietnamese coffee yet?
No, I still haven't done Vietnamese coffee.
Oh, Jack. In fact, I said,
I'd forgotten our conversation until you just said that.
Wait for a full moon. Like I said, do it on a full moon.
Chain myself to a radiator.
Yep, in the basement, and then just see what the coffee does to you.
I mean, I feel like it's going to make me have to go to the bathroom. That's what it's going to do to me.
Honestly, you might not even notice, because for me, I was in such a panic that I didn't even know I had bodily functions. I was just like, am I just this consciousness that is on just a really bad way? But hey, teach their own.
Well, my name's Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Jaquille O'Neal.
Oh,
because of the way I bang in the paint. Just dunk
so
on people.
With it. Because of the way I bang in the paint.
You know, my high school coach always said, man, if you were only 7'2", 325 pounds of pure muscular athleticism with your skills, even then you probably still wouldn't start. Now stop asking me, but yeah, you know.
Hey, man, but we need the Gatorade thing's empty, so why don't you go fill that up, man? All right, coach. All right.
Well, I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
Miles Gray, a.k.a. I always feel like somebody on the street gonna blow heroin on me. Oh,
heroin.
I always feel like somebody on the street is airborne smack just a dream. Oh, okay. That's shout out to the people of Seattle who, you know, handled that Fox News person there very thoroughly when they're like, I saw people using drugs. When the lady was like, oh, and were you in a car?
Yeah. Were you afraid it was going to come through your car?
Did it get you?
No? Okay, keep Aww. It moving out of
Did
my town.
Did that make you scared?
Yeah. Oh, that's from Lockeroni on Discord. Shout out Lockeroni. Shout out Rockwell. Shout out the son of Berry Gordy. That's how he got that Michael Jackson feature on that track, for people who don't know.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
Well, Miles.
Nepo babies, Jack. They're all around.
They're all around us, hiding in plain sight.
Mm-hmm.
Miles, we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by a brilliant writer, speaker, social justice educator, who's written for Ebony, Complex, Out, The Root, and appeared on NBC News, BuzzFeed, and Vox, among
Heard
many
of
others.
All of them.
They're also the host of the amazing podcast BFF Black Fat Femme, which has a live show coming up on the 11th of October. You can still get tickets as of right now. Go get them. It's Dr. John Paul Higgins!
Dr. John!
Hello. It's so nice to be back. It's so nice. I manifested this. So I had said, like, earlier last week, I was like, I miss Jack and I miss Miles. And I said that, like, under my breath. Mm-hmm. And then Anna was like, yo, you want to be on the show? And I was like, oh my God, I manifested this.
It is
so
happened.
I'm really
We
really
do have
excited.
You bugged and are listening very carefully to everything that happens. So
And just so you know, we only have you on when we know you have uttered the words, I miss them. And then we're like, okay, let's go.
Because the last time I saw you was in New York.
Yeah.
So it was like, I was like, man, I was like, I miss
And
my, I
wait,
miss
wait,
guys.
who do we run into at 30 Rock that you
we
fanned out on?
Oh gosh. We ran into Heather McDonald.
Yeah.
I always gonna call her Heather Long Boobs because that's what I know her as from from Chelsea lately. But
right.
I was like, oh my God, it's Heather McDonald. so random. And I was like, I love her. I think her comedy is great. So it was really cool. Yeah.
It was wild though, and because we were just I think we had just got a New York bagel together.
We did.
Chopped cheese. The way you pulled up to Heather McDonald, I thought you knew her. I was like, of course they know Heather McDonald.
I didn't know her, but I knew. I was like, I know that lady. And so I ran up on her and was like, yo, can I get a picture?
She loved it. She loved it.
Yeah, she did. Yeah. So my husband was actually thrown by it, too. He was like, yo, you met Heather McDonald? I was like, yes. So.
Hey, New York, New York. It's the city of dreams.
Where was it? Concrete, jungle, red, green tomatoes? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Concrete, jungle, red, green tomatoes. So,
what is that? Is that just like a meme? That
no, I always, I've always sang
that's
it that way.
That's what you thought it was?
Oh,
yeah.
Shit,
I've always sang
amazing.
It that way. In my head, it's always been
red, green tomatoes.
Red to me. Yeah, it sounds like you're saying there's nothing you can't do now you're in New York. And I was like, why is she saying red, green tomatoes? And then I realized it was where dreams are made of. And I was like, oh, snap. I was singing the wrong words. So
I just love that juxtaposition, though. Concrete jungle, red, green tomatoes. Now you're in New York.
That's right.
It's like, wow, what a random thing to say.
I didn't know. I'll have to look out for those when I'm in town. Do you guys have those red, green tomatoes?
Yes. So.
Oh, man.
All right. Well, Dr. Higgins, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we're going to tell our listeners a few of the things that we're talking about. We're going to talk about the Republicans' attempt to stand with workers and how that's not going very well, including Trump's speech in Detroit, much hyped speech in Detroit, where he was going to ultimately like come out as this time I am a man of the workers. And it didn't quite go that way.
It looked that way.
Miles, you're going to tell us about the GOP debate. I haven't read anything about what happened at the GOP debate.
You don't need to. You already know without knowing. I'm just here to just shine a light on some of the more chaotic aspects of it, because nothing really happened. Like no one, it's not like I would be surprised if after Republican debate, we're like, you know what? I think so-and-so actually has a chance here at, you know, cracking the code to defeat Trump, because it's not.
It
at
was bad.
Yeah, it doesn't
so
seem
it's
like
just a bunch of foolishness, but it's all bad. On tape.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll talk about Dare. Dare's making a comeback somehow.
Oh.
All of that, plenty more. But first, Dr. Higgins, we do like to ask our guests, what is something from your search history that's revealing about who you are?
Well, first, I want to say crack is whack. Crack is cheap. On the Dare tip, I wanted to say that. It literally rose up in my spirit.
Our writer, JM, was like, back in the days of the Dare program when Pee Wee Herman urging kids not to try crack was considered totally normal. And I had to look that clip up. Yeah. And man, there is a great PSA. 90s
was a time. Yeah. Even that
meth.
Do you remember that meth commercial where she was like, staying up all night cleaning your house? Meth.
No.
And it was like literally, there is a literal commercial. I'll send you the link, but there is a commercial of a woman singing about being addicted to meth. And it came out in the 90s. And then I always remember that This Is Your Brain on Drugs with like,
I remember that one.
Crack. But yeah. No, that meth song, literally every time, specifically when I'm in downtown LA, which I call Gotham City, I'll see it and just it starts playing in my head like meth.
Yeah.
Wait, what? Is it this one?
Yeah, there is an actual commercial.
Yo, this is ridiculous. I know you didn't hear it. I just heard the first bar of it. Hold on. Here we go.
Look at me, busy as a bee. Where'd I get all this energy? Oh, meth. Meth.
Wow.
I don't sleep and I don't eat, but I've got the cleanest house on the street. Oh, meth. Meth.
The visuals are not matching
up. I'm sorry. This was an anti-meth PSA?
Well, they've got the music matching, like the music makes me think that this is like that from the people who brought you Flintstones vitamins.
Yeah.
Like this meth commercial. But then the visuals look like they're from like a early 90s.
Darren Aronofsky.
Yeah. Like Soundgarden, you know, like one of those things about like the runaway train video, you know, about kids who get kidnapped or run away from home. It's very strange. The Pee Wee clip I just watched for the first time since I was a child, and they make crack sound really appealing. because he's very serious, but he is also like, it's so potent. Oh my God.
This is crack, rock cocaine. It isn't glamorous or cool or kid stuff. It's the most addictive kind of cocaine. And it can kill you. What's really bad is nobody knows how much it takes. So every time you use it, you risk dying.
It's such a not a Pee Wee vibe that I don't know if he's the worst messenger for that message.
Such a strange one. But then the end, it's like the thrill is not worth the chill or something like that.
Oh, no.
And like he goes on to be like, and it's the most powerful form of cocaine. It's like the craziest high.
I opened up Pandora's box. I'm so sorry. Oh, I really did.
Meth. Meth feels like something Dolly Parton wrote.
Yeah.
Like it has a very Dolly vibe where she's like, here's a little ditty I got to keep kids off the meth.
Yeah. And then they wrote a song about it. But anyway, all that to be said, I'm sorry I opened that. I literally opened up that wormhole.
Thank you for that.
I mean, that's what we're going to be talking about.
But what I'm searching is my crack, which is Apple. So I got an iPhone 15 Pro on Friday. Well, technically I got it Monday, but I ordered it on Friday.
And
I think I made the wrong decision in the color. I got the natural one, which I thought was going to end up being gold. And it's not. It's like a gray color and it's ugly. Like I personally think it's ugly. And so I've been kind of browsing around trying to see if they have any in store. And then they do. They have a black one, which is like way out in South Coast. And I'm like, am I really that awful that I'm going to drive down to Irvine to get a new phone because I hate the color of the one that I have? Capitalism.
Yeah.
And
done.
Anyone who knows me knows that I probably will. So, because I'm an addict. Apple owns me, and it really sucks that I.
Do you have a Apple Watch Ultra? Are you that?
I have the two.
Oh
yeah.
No!
Yeah.
Wow.
So yeah.
they just came through with the It's everything's just. You know, it's funny because we were just talking about the new iPhone and how I thought I haven't upgraded since 2019. Wow. And I'm like, I'm ready. Because the only thing I was like, I want USB-C. I'm off this Lightning. Every phone, I was like, whenever they do USB-C, I'm back. And then I had a Pro Max. I have a Pro Max now. And I saw that video of this year's Pro Max. And the dude just bent it in half with his hands. And I was like, oh, fuck out of here. Really?
Wait, isn't the whole thing supposed to be it's titanium?
It is titanium, but it's very much on the lighter side. It's very light. Like, light to the point where I almost thought, I was like, is this a pro? When the when the person handed me the phone, they initially handed it to me, and I was like, this feels and looks like the Pro. And they were like, no, it's the Pro Max. And I was like, wow. So, it's a lot sleeker, and it's a lot, I don't know, it just feels better in your hand. But like I said, I just don't like the color of it. And I'm like, do I just, you know, shrug my shoulders and say, you know, forget about it?
Right.
Or do I, you know, gas up my car for $100 because gas is literally $7 a gallon in SoCal and drive down, even though I have a hybrid. But still, like, am I going to be that person that drives across town literally to get a new
purely for look
of the color? Yeah.
Because of the look of the iPhone. Do you not have a cover on your iPhone?
So this is the thing. I wish that I have to say this. I am a person who will spend ridiculous amount of money at Apple, but that is one of the things that I cannot bring myself to be like, oh, let me just rock my phone naked and run the risk of it slipping out of my hand. And you know, and I'll tell this story here because it's the perfect story to tell it. This is a true story. So one day back in, like, I think it was like 2012, 2013. Do you remember when they used to test your phone for water damage before you could get it like replaced?
Yeah.
And it was like one of the
that little hole.
Yeah. They would literally like blow this light thing into it to like see if there's red in your phone because it got wet. Well, I remember coming in from work one day and I was literally, so the way my apartment was when you walk through the front door, you would immediately have to make a left to go into my bedroom, and you would have to pass the bathroom in order to get into my bedroom. And so sure enough, I walked into my apartment. I was setting my work bag down. I was on the phone. And literally as I was walking into my room to take off my work shoes, my phone slipped out of my hand. And guess where it flew into?
The toilet.
Yeah.
The toilet. And so ever since then, I've been like, and that was at the time where I was like, I don't need a case. I'm not a case girl.
Yeah.
And now to this day, I'm like, yeah, that if that can happen, anything can happen. And so I've always put a case on my phone. I hate cases, but... Yeah.
Me too.
Yeah.
As much as I always love, like, when I get the new one, I'm like, yo, I want to rock it like this.
Same.
And then it just takes me putting it on the table wrong. And then I just have, like, I'm like, you're going to fucking break everything.
Yeah.
And I go straight to the store.
Ruin it all.
Yeah.
You're going to fuck it all up, man.
But I feel like when I take the case off, if I've had a case for a while, I'm like, oh, that's what color the phone is? Like,
right.
You know? So, like, I don't, when I have a case on my phone, I have no idea what color it is or, you know.
Yeah. So I told myself, I bought a black case for it. So I have that woven case on it, the woven one. And I told myself, I said, I'm going to get the black woven case and see if it makes me like the phone a little bit better. And if I can deal with it, you know, being black and silver in the woven case, if I like it, then I'll keep it. But if I don't, then I'll go to the place tomorrow and I'll get a new one. So
now, I have a dumb thing that I'm realizing was happening in my brain.
Mm-hmm.
Every time I've gotten an iPhone, I've had that same thing you were describing, Dr. Higgins, where I'm like, oh, it's much lighter now.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
I think I was assuming that it was picking up weight, like, from dust, just aging, getting heavier with age, and that's probably not the case. Like a pillow, you know,
wow,
just dust mites,
dusty phone,
dead skin particles,
just dead bugs inside my phone.
Yeah,
that's probably not scientifically accurate, but I just realized when you described that that's what was happening in my head.
Yeah,
so I'm a stupid person.
It's fine.
What is, Dr. Higgins, what is something that you think is overrated?
Overrated. I actually made a note about this. So my overrated is being an adult. I think being an adult, like the older I get, it seems like I remember being a kid, maybe because I was poor. So like, I remember being a kid and being like, when I get older, I'm gonna eat what I want and I'm gonna do what I want whenever I want to do it. And then it's like, I look at my calendar, is so full. And I'm just, by the time like I actually get to sit down on my couch, it's time to do this shit all over again. And I'm like, damn it. Like, can I rest? So like, I don't know, just being an adult, maybe because of the time that we live in, like everything feels so heavy. Like, you know, I was talking to someone about this at the airport this weekend. Like, it just, every time we look up, there's something else that's happening. There's something terrible that's coming our way. And like, just seeing gas prices, like my husband told me, like lunch meat was $9 now. Like everything just feels so heavy. And I like being an adult, it's like my nephew is 5 and I look at him and I'm like, you know, baby, like just stay young. Like don't right. stay young. Yeah. Like
find
enjoy being young, because man, like when by the time you get to my age, it's probably going to be 3 times as worse. Like my mom used to tell me that, and I never processed what she was trying to tell me. But now as an adult, I'm looking around and I'm going, yeah, it really is kind of, it's kind of rough out here.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I saw, you know, egg prices have been going up and down. I went to the store, $8.50 for 12 eggs. I was like, I was acting like eggs was a brand of food I didn't need to fuck with anymore. Yeah. I was like, well, I'm finished with eggs then.
Yeah.
If they want to pull that shit on me.
It's not like we even shop at what was that place called? Earworm or whatever it's called?
Earwolf.
Erewhon. Yeah. I look, every time I see it, it looks like Earworm to me. But
yeah,
it's not even like I shop at like Erewhon or anything.
Right,
like,
right.
We go to Ralph's. We go to like Stater Brothers. And it's like, man, it's you literally like $250 for like what, 2 weeks worth of groceries? And we don't even eat junk like that. Like, yes, I'm that girl that's going to eat a donut. I'm going to eat a lot of, I eat what I want to eat. But man, it's like just to get like produce and milk. And so like even thinking about it, like I saw someone, there's been this TikTok floating around about a woman who I guess talked about having children. And I you know, when I talk to my mom and I talk to like some of my peers who don't have kids, that's usually the number one thing that drives the conversation of like why I have so much empathy for people who have kids now. It's just the price of everything is expensive. Yeah. Like everything is high.
Even
so,
like daycare. It's like, it's a fucking Mercedes payment. Like,
was it $8.50 a week?
It's some like,
for daycare.
Yeah, some, like I'm looking for the cheaper ones and the shit's like $2,000 a month.
That's
what you pay for rent. So
and I know. And that's what's interesting too. Cause like I know people who have made the business decision to say it's actually like, I might as well not work because I'm just going to be working to pay this thing off and I might as well just be with the kid. But yeah, it's it is heavy.
It is very heavy.
That's why, hey, Trader Joe's, I like how my receipt looks when I go there because I'm like, I buy 9 bag salads and I'm like,
Yeah, we have to travel to our Trader Joe's is not in a very, it's not convenient at all to where we live. So
wait, Trader Joe's is cheaper than like Kroger, Ralph's?
Most of the time.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. What? Like, if you, Jack, baby, like, you know, like, I buy salad, right, and do salad stuff. You can buy those pre-bagged salads or whatever. You get, like, 6 of those, some, like, meat you on a grill and stuff like that. And you can walk out of there for under what that would cost if I went to, like, a Kroger sometimes. It all depends on, like, you know, what you're looking for.
Wow. Well, all right. Yeah. What is something, Dr. Higgins, that you think is underrated?
Underrated. Asking people for help. And I know that, I know that I listen to the show daily and I know people have such good responses, but that was the only thing that came to mind for me in terms of underrated. And so that's why I'm on the show. Come to my live show on October 11th.
Yeah.
Help fill the seats. Come listen to us babble about absolutely nothing. But no, seriously, asking for help. And I think the older I'm getting, you know, I think that there's this, you know, and again, this could be the social justice in me, but I think, as you know, a marginalized person, we're always expected to have the answers to everything. We're always supposed to be the person, like the world teaches you to be the smartest person in the room all the time.
Right.
And I've just gotten to the point now where it's like, yes, I have a doctorate, but I'm still not the smartest person in the room. Like, wouldn't anything say like, support me, bitch? Like, that is literally how I feel all the time now. Like, I'm like, if I need help, I'm gonna ask. I'm not that girl that's like, I've got it together. Like, I'm good. Like, my life is great. No, my life is literally 3 seconds. It's a string from falling apart. So like, please help me. Like, if you can help me in any way, whether it be like, you know, giving me, you know, a network or an email or a connect to something, like I'm never below saying help me.
Right.
Because this life is hard. Like, just it's really, really hard. So,
oh, yeah. And I think there's also, there's people don't want to struggle in public. That's a huge reason why people don't ask for help or act like they don't, like they got their shit all figured out. But it is like the most liberating and sort of like life affirming thing when you ask for, like, you'll be surprised you ask for help. The help that you will receive from people that are like in your circle. And I think that's also one of the underrated aspects of asking for it is like, you will also realize like, damn, I got people in my corner.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd say this is probably the most underrated thing of my adult life. Yeah. This is a great underrated. It's something I've had to do for like addiction issues. I've had to do in like it's made my marriage better. And just in terms of it being good advice, we did this thing, like there's this hack.
Yeah.
One hack that Ben Franklin wants you to know. But there's this thing that Ben Franklin talks about that he realizes this like counterintuitive thing that if you ask someone for a favor, they do the favor for you, they will like you more. And it's a weird, because you're showing vulnerability and there's like something like subconsciously of them like doing something for you, like their brain is like, well, they must be cool then because I just did this thing for them. So it's like, it's all around, like just being willing to be vulnerable enough to ask for help opens this world of possibilities and increased, you know, just everything. It makes your life better and richer in so many ways, you know, decreases loneliness, which is such a huge problem like right now. Yeah. And all of that being said, I can speak about it for a long time. And like, I still don't do it enough, you know?
Yeah, neither do I.
Because it's hard.
It is hard. And I think I was going to say real quick, I think a really important thing is, you know, masculinity is a thing, right? Whether you talk about toxic masculinity or masculinity as a whole, like we're all three men. And I think so being even for me being non-binary, there's still this presentation of I'm male presenting to people in some way. And so I'm supposed to never be emotional enough to say I'm struggling. And I actually had to like acknowledge that a couple of like days ago, like 2 weeks ago, I was literally sitting in my office going, like, here comes the ideations. Here comes the like, no one loves you. No one cares. Like you're feeling very alone. So I had to hit my therapist back up and I had to say like, hey, I'm literally slipping into this mindset again of being lonely and feeling like the world doesn't need me here. Like I need help. And she was like, you know, let me get you back in and, you know, let me get you back on the roster. And so I think that that's something that like I try to emulate in everything that I do, that like just because you see, you know, the shows and you see me on the network and you see me on TV and you see me with, you know, celebrities. I mean, I went to dinner with a celeb friend of mine just this weekend. People are like, oh, that's so cool. I'm like, yeah, but we were sitting at the table literally almost crying with each other because we're all struggling. Like we're all going through it. So, yeah, it's just, you know, ask for help. Literally, like people are not going to judge you for asking for help. So,
yeah. And that it's okay to be struggling. I think that's the other hard part is like whenever I start getting like, you know, I start ruminating on shit or whatever. It's like, man, you don't fucking feel why you get your shit together, or whatever. It's like, no, that's not how you get out of it. You get out of it by being like, okay, that's where we're at right now. Mm-hmm. Let's try and find a way to sort of pivot to something that feels a little bit better and then incrementally get out of there. But the whole like brute force of like, I don't need to feel like this, damn it. Like it's, guess what? It only makes shit worse.
Yep. What if you just said no to sadness though?
Ah.
If you just said no.
Like to drugs.
Yeah. Like, I don't know. That seems.
Well, just like
kind of a no brainer to me.
Yeah. It's just going to make me do more sadness.
That's right.
More drugs.
More sadness.
All right. Let's take a quick break and we'll come back. And speaking of sadness, we'll talk about the Republican Party and how things are going for them. We'll be right back.
Zyte gang, customers are rushing to your store, but do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it, you know, like a literal POS? Well, you need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into one source of truth. Connect with customers in line and online. Look, you want to use TikTok? Well, guess what? They have plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns on platforms just like that. Get hardware that fits your business, take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Now, I was looking at Shopify.com, and I'm trying to get some answers. Let's say, you know, I had a bustling retail business, and I need, you know, maybe some hardware to be able to sell my wares on the street, take credit card payments, whatever. And I know Shopify is easy to use. Half the time I buy something online, I'm like, oh, yep, they're using Shopify. And if you need to learn more, check out their website. It's super easy to navigate, whether you have questions about how you can optimize your inventory or, again, looking for hardware to make sales easier. Shopify.com has all of that. Just go there. Check it out. So sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/TDZ, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/TDZ to take your retail business to the next level today. Shopify.com/TDZ.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
And we're back. Oh, yeah. And, you know, the Republicans are struggling. They don't have an identity outside of, you know, they just have collapsed into a personality cult with a person at their head who is struggling. Yeah, he's not doing great. He's the most indicted human being on planet Earth right now, I believe.
More indictments than El Chapo, that's for sure.
So we were sitting back. We were like, man, you know what would make sense for them? Is if if they did the thing that no mainstream politician in the U.S. has been willing to do. At this moment of increased support, increased popularity for labor, for unions, what if the Republicans were just like, actually, we're kind of the labor party. Like, we're, you know, we can just rest on the laurels of decades and decades of being pro corporations, and we can just pay lip service and like start running as the we're with the workers party. This is something Tucker Carlson said many years back. Like, somebody's gonna jump in here and do this. Like, why not have it be Republicans? And so they're trying that hat on, and it looks stupid.
The hat looks terrible.
Bad on them. Yes.
Well, I mean, yeah, the thing is, like, Joe Biden beat Trump to the picket line, and we discussed this on the past episode. He was, like, saying, like, hey, I believe that y'all deserve a significant pay rise, and that was a first, along with him being on the picket line. They're still concerned, though, from the UAW over the government giving subsidies to Ford to make electric vehicles without mandating that they use union labor. So that's still a bit of a sticking point, but we'll see if Biden does something to improve that situation. But they're saying, like, you know, Trump's also got something going on. When I think we'll get to his moment where he gave a really fun speech to a quote unquote.
Yeah, I mean, should we just start off with that?
Yeah, might as well.
Because that was a question. Does he not have to go to the debates,
or
is he just choosing not to go?
He's choosing not to go.
Yeah, he's just saying, I'm not going. Whatever, do your thing.
Yeah.
Trash.
People on the right are like, why is he ducking the debates? And I think the answer is like he has nothing to gain from going because he's so far in front of these people.
Yeah. It would only make things worse.
Because there is the potential for them to start windmilling on him by talking about like his criminal like record and stuff. Like, and so for him, it'll just be like, you never, I'm gonna take a step back. Then y'all just do that and I can just scream from social.
Dominique from
social.
The dotted line. Two-handed windmill.
Just windmilling on nonstop.
Duking. Yeah.
Yeah. Duking in him.
Yeah. No, no.
So we saw that he was going to speak in Detroit the night of the debate. And we were like, maybe this is it. Maybe he's going to really do it. So first things first, he spoke at a non-union plant. So that was a strange, like, he's speaking strike in Detroit one. During a auto workers union strike, and he is speaking at a specifically non-union plant. The event, a lot of vague platitudes really coming out, like, there are sentences where he says he's, like, pro-worker and pro-union, but they are surrounded by him, like, attacking union leadership.
Yeah.
And just basically saying all of the things that industry people would have you believe. Like, the industry is going out of business. Like, you guys are, it doesn't matter. You can win your strike in 2 years from now. The whole place is going to be out of business. All your companies are going to be out of business. The stuff that was basically, like, taken from the mouths of, like, the companies that these people are striking against.
He's doing the same material that a union busting consultant does when a company is like, oh shit, my workers are unionizing. Because it was the same things like these fat cats that are running your union, they don't have your future in mind. They're thinking about them. They're working out their
own deals.
Yeah, exactly. And he's like, and they're just getting in the way. And I feel so bad for you. I feel so bad for you that your leaders are just kind of completely just fucking you over like this. And
so
that's
gaslighting
that was
them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, he's gaslighting 100%. Them.
Yeah, yeah, he's just lying.
To a room full of people who were, I guess, presented as workers. So, like, the details always got murky. It's like, oh, shit, Trump's going to Detroit to speak to auto workers. And then, Trump is going to a non-union plant to speak to, mostly retired workers. That were invited only by the management of the non-union plant. And then we get to the event and there are my, the costumes that people were wearing.
A journalist from the Detroit News made the trip down, started looking around at the people who were at the speech. And, you know, there's one woman holding a Union Members for Trump placard. And went up and was like, oh, so you're a union member. Like, what made you support Trump? She was like, I'm not a union member. There was another one who was holding a sign that said auto workers for Trump. Much, much wider target to hit. You're in Detroit. Like, you just ask most people in Detroit, are you an auto worker of one sort or another? And they'll probably be like, yeah, you know, or I have been. So ask auto workers for Trump placard holder. Are you an auto worker? No, I'm actually not an auto worker. In fact,
I'm just here.
Yeah. So now people are asking like, you know, they're remembering his 2015 campaign announcement where people looked around and were like, there's like all these signs are written in the same handwriting. what is going on? And they found out like they had put out a call to New York-based Extra Mile Casting to cast some background actors to appear at his campaign announcement. Yeah. So
I can't talk about this man, I always think about Scooby-Doo. Like, this man is literally that person, you know, like at the end when they unmask them and it's like, many stupid antics.
It is wild. I mean, he's lucky though that like union membership isn't like ethnic or whatever. Cause like when he has blacks for Trump, like he's got to fuse the same five dudes every rally. Right. You know what I mean? Yeah. Cause like you can't just, as much as he'd like to, I'm sure he'd be like, what about that lady there? She could wear a blacks for Trump t-shirt. They're like, Mr. President, that is, she is not black. Idea. She supports the idea. And that's what's important. Right. And they're like, you're lucky that they can just wave unions for Trump. And then if you just do a little asking, they're like, I'm here because they're giving out Outback Steakhouse coupons. So,
yeah, I don't know.
Gas vouchers.
Yeah. It's like, of course, the last actor spiked appearance, you know, was when he was announcing his campaign, which ultimately successfully got him elected president. So who knows? It's just kind of weird that he's needing to bring in people who are lying about who they are at the height of, you know.
Yeah.
He's been around for a while.
He's desperate. He's desperate.
But it's all like his whole thing is, right, it doesn't have to pass the multiple levels of scrutiny from someone who is, you know, a bit cynical about what he stands for, because all he needs is a fucking image of signs being held that say auto workers for Trump, unions for Trump. And that's it. That's what gets pushed out. There will be no further inspection about like who these people are, whatever. It's just there it is. There's your moment. He's in Detroit too. And he's got the backing of the unions. And next grift, please.
Yeah. But it's not just Trump. Like the whole Republican Party seems to be trying this on, at least in a way that just seems unnatural given their policies, right?
All of their policies. They're
given every single one of their policies.
On wax, not giving a fuck about working people since the first album.
Yeah.
And so, you remember, there was the PRO Act, right? That that came out at the beginning of the Biden administration, the Protecting the Right to Organize Act. And this is a bill that would have negated state level right to work laws. And these right to work laws are specifically designed to dilute union power, to like be like, man, collective bargaining ain't going to work because we got these right to work laws. Mm. And they're all done under the guise of like protecting the worker from being forced to join a union. That's already not something you can do under federal law. So, you know, miss us with all of that shit. But those laws are also the reason why auto jobs specifically too are migrating south of Michigan, because they don't have any unionized plants there. And that's why. So again, this is where the Republican Party is at. So anyway, very pro-worker, but that won't stop them from cosplaying as pro-worker. So J.D. Vance has predictably said that, you know, it's the union bosses that are the problem, just like Trump said. And Biden liking electric vehicles is also the issue here. Trump also said that at that rally that he was like really worried that a boat that was powered by an electric motor would electrocute everybody if something were to happen. Because
I don't know about really you folks.
You have a battery in water. I don't want to be there at all. It's like, sure, man. Science isn't for all of us.
Any boat that's not a sailboat. plus magnets. And how do they work? I don't get it.
Yeah, wow. He just watched that insane clown posse video. He's like, this is my whole policy for science. So then he also had shit to say about the UAW, head Sean Fain, who was famously not mincing words when talking about people, especially Trump or even Biden. He's like, man, I don't need Biden to send these people here. We're working this deal out. Or with Trump, he's like, man, what the fuck is he doing? This is bullshit, which made Vance very upset. His message to Sean Fain was, quote, at the very least, just shut your mouth and take the support from wherever you can get it. It's actually coming from the workers. But anyway, the solidarity isn't their thing. But and again, the support certainly isn't coming from the GOP. And let's also move on. I also do want to talk about white power macho man Senator Josh Hawley. He literally has a 0% score from the UAW, from the auto workers union. Okay. And his ass decided to trot out to a picket line and say some really vague shit. Like, he really, like, the first thing fucking journalists there weren't going to say is like, bro, you have like a 0%. The fuck are you doing here? This is Josh Hawley. And you're not going to be able, the volume's kind of low, but like the first thing that this journalist is bringing up is like, you have a 0% rating from this union. And then he's going to say, oh, well, I'm pro worker. Just so you, cook in case him. You miss it, you know what he's saying. Here we go.
Yeah. As of August of last year.
Yeah. Oh, you're probably a score.
A score card, yeah.
So, I'm pro worker, so they can, what the various organizations, how they rate me, doesn't matter to me. I want to stand with these Missourians, a few from Illinois, but we'll be for them to. I want to stand with them in their bold struggle to actually get what they deserve. And listen, we need to make things in this country. We need to keep.
All right, so I said, I want to stand with them in their bold struggle, immediately pivots to some like, we got to keep jobs in America thing, because he couldn't really speak on what their fucking bold struggle was. But I love that he goes, look, it doesn't matter what their rating is of me. Well, it what indicates that you're actually hostile towards the aims of the organization. That's right. Actually what
the
that means.
The organization they don't like here you, girl. Supporting
yeah.
has said that you are an enemy to their right. aims, gave you explicitly a zero.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, yeah.
It's said, a... and that's hard to do.
Right.
So yeah. any care to comment? Well, I don't really care what they...
I'm pro-worker.
Yeah.
That's just so wild to pivot off that. And you're like, no, this score, I actually, proves the opposite. Yeah, whatever. Go off, man. Hmm. So he's here for their bold struggle.
Yeah.
But again, that was as believable as his tough guy act on January 6th, where he like threw up the fucking fist going into the Capitol and then was sprinting out of there.
Yeah.
Like, they're going to fucking hurt me. But then being like, those are good men and women. It's like, you can't. Okay. All right, Josh.
Yeah.
Take her easy.
Take her easy. She's my lady. And that's, hey, that's what I, son of a bitch.
No, that's me. Hey, that's one. No, that's one of the last things he says yeah. in that sketch. Sorry to keep touching on that SNL bit.
That
Sorry,
sketch
everyone.
Is the Rosetta Stone. You have to watch it if you are going to understand anything we do on this show.
But yeah, while that was happening and Trump was talking about the horrors of electric motorboat electrocution, there was a GOP debate going on.
Yeah.
And Trump was just saying the way he's shady. He's like, oh, you mean like the job candidates talk that they're doing? They're all trying to get a job. That was like his take on it while he was talking to the quote unquote auto workers. But yeah, it was basically, I mean, the debates have only made one thing clear, and that is Donald Trump is going to be the fucking nominee and no one is going to break through. Sorry.
Unless there, the no Supreme one... Court. This is like a,
right.
a nomination for if the Supreme Court comes through and does the right thing on the off chance. Like, this is who we're left with.
So, like, the whole thing started off fucking janky, okay? The hosts couldn't even get their shit together. It started off with Stuart Varney getting completely Travolta'd by the teleprompter when he had to read a non-Anglo name. Specifically Ilya Calderon from Univision. So I just this was the fucking beginning of the debate.
Mm-hmm.
News Channel Dana Perino and Ilya Calderon, Univision.
Oh,
good evening.
What did
he say? Sorry, he tried to, let me hear that again.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
this
yeah.
is the Fox News commentator.
What? I didn't.
Yeah.
So we do need to tell people because nobody knows who. Any of the candidates are, because nobody's paying attention to these. Stuart Varney is one of the moderators from Fox
yes,
News.
Yes, these are the moderators. Dana Perino, Stuart Varney, and like I said, Ilya Calderon from Univision. And this is how he kicks it off. Nailed Dana Perino's name. I wonder why. But then just saying Ilya's name. Here we go. Just one more time for you.
Fox News Channel Dana Perino and Ilya Calderon, Univision.
Good evening.
Wow.
He was out.
I mean, he did okay, but then he like
he yeah
didn't feel
he
like
stepped
he did
on
okay.
Himself.
He put too yeah. much. He put too much
called that Univision.
He used so much of his RAM, so much of his computing yeah. power to get through the Ilya Calderon part that when it came to the next part, he was out of gas, baby.
Yeah, his brain like couldn't believe that his mouth had just said
like,
it correctly.
Oh, I did it right? Yeah, yeah. I did it right.
He just melted yeah. down.
He's like, it's
Whoa,
me.
Whoa, did you just hear that shit? That was what was happening in his brain.
Yeah.
I know.
As he just melted down.
In his mind, he was like Celia Cruz. He was like me after saying that name. He's like, I've become a legend in the Salt and Latin music game. Yeah, he's like, Guantanamera. Like, he's like, it's me, baby.
Yeah, he thought he did that.
So then it was just incoherent. Talking points mixed with these people just yelling over each other. This is just here. You want to hear some yelling over each other?
Here's Nikki Haley. I bet this is gonna make me tired.
Oh
yeah.
Baby,
I had to turn it off.
Put your nightcap on. And that's why I'm sparing everybody by just giving you some of the tidbits here.
You are scrapping.
I'm not scrapping.
Excuse me.
Here's a fact.
So that's wow. one thing that happened. Okay.
So Nikki Haley and Tim Scott are yelling over each other while Ron DeSantis is trying to start talking towards the camera.
Right.
And
right.
then Vivek is holding up his hand to be like, can I speak?
Teacher?
Can I speak? So it's just four people trying to talk.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, and it gets worse. Well, maybe better. This is it just goes on. Here's more people yelling over each other, but with Ron DeSantis trying to say something.
We've waited and nothing has happened.
Here's what you've done.
Here's the thing that I just find interesting.
Ron, let me finish
this. All these guys have said
these things. Here's the fact.
And I appreciate a lot of the things they're saying.
Nikki
I'm
Haley.
The only one up here.
I love it. His mic was turned down. He's like, here's the thing that nobody's trying to. It's like, brush.
Yeah.
The chaos party.
Yeah.
Just stupid. He did give us another one of the smiles, though. The Ron DeSantis smile.
Yeah, the weird.
Yeah,
he's having like slithering. Some sort of neurological event happening.
He's having like his probably like electrode like anklet went off that reminds him to smile. And that's he's like, like and they're like, be fucking human, Ron. Here's Nikki Haley just fucking taking his shit on Vivek Ramaswamy's whole TikTok presence.
Social media apps that we could have. And what you've got, I honestly, every time I hear you, I feel a little bit dumber for what you say. Because I can't believe that here you've got a TikTok situation. What they're.
So, but she used that to pivot and be like, TikTok is Chinese and bad. That was the thrust. I mean, like,
every time I hear you, I feel dumber is pretty good.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's a good little body blow from her.
Yeah. And I think probably one of the worst moments came when Tim Scott just basically said that, you know, things like the Voting Rights Act and the Civil Rights Act were worse than slavery. Here's Tim Scott talking about Johnson's, you know, Lyndon Johnson's Great Society.
Here's the challenge, though. Black families survived slavery. We survived poll taxes and literacy tests. We survived discrimination being woven into the laws of our country. What was hard to survive was Johnson's Great Society, where they decided to put money, where they decided to take the black father out of the household to get a check in the mail. And you can now measure that in unemployment, in crime, in devastation. If you want to
Yeah. Huh? So
what was that argument? He said they decided to take money?
I think he's trying to say like things like, you know, welfare and social safety nets. Essentially, all he's doing is he's saying a bunch of talking points to just really do the whole white supremacy isn't the problem.
Right.
Black people are
The problem.
Right.
Yeah, I was like, saying it's very much fuck? Giving he's shitting on black people.
100%.
Basically. Yeah.
100%. And I get that in his mind because he's surrounded by white supremacy and that's the and you know, embracing it is the only way that I'm sure he's been able to achieve the heights that he has on the right.
Yeah.
That he's like, "Oh yeah, this is great. This is doing something." But, you know, all you're doing is just getting these, like, other racist people, like, nodding along with you. Like, it's not scoring points. You look foolish selling your own people out like that and being, like, essentially being, like, what was bad was when civil rights were, like, enumerated into law. Mm-hmm. Come on, Tim Scott. And there was one last moment. I got to see if I can find this clip. Basically, Dana Perino treated it like Survivor and said, which of these people would you vote off the island? Because right now, the way she framed it was, if all of you stay in the race, Donald Trump absolutely gets the nomination. So thinking about that, are there any people that you think should drop out and maybe get voted off the island? Everybody, I want you to write the name down of who you think should be voted off the island tonight.
She really
and Nikki
did
Haley
that?
Was like, yeah, Nikki Haley was like, wait, are you for real? And she like really proposing this shit. So, yeah, all around nonsense.
The overall response from Republican donors seemed to have been panic.
Yeah.
And they're now being like, Glenn Youngkin, you are not currently in the race. Maybe you could do something. So they're going to ask the Virginia guy to like come into the race and. Because that's what they need, more people who don't have like any sort of appeal.
More things that are as interesting as watching like ice cream melt on a sidewalk kind of people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But they do it so well. But yeah, like a lot of the donors like, what do we do? Like, what's the deal now? It's like, I don't know, y'all. This is this is what happens when you let just Trump completely take over your party. You have no party. Mm-hmm. You just have Trump now. And until like a plurality of them. You know, come around to being like, I don't give a fuck what happens. Like, we just have to fucking get this guy out. It's not good luck. You're gonna have more of this shit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Let's take a quick break and come back and talk about drugs.
Yeah.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Happy Pride from Tomboy X. We just dropped our Pride 24 collection. Queer founded, queer run, and creating size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies. So you feel comfortable in your own skin. Visit TomboyX.com to shop.
And we're back. And Dare is somehow still a thing. Having been born in 1980 and like lived in like all my early memories are in a decade where it was just your brain on drugs, like just this weird straightforward just say no to drugs. I thought drugs were a thing people were going to make me do, like force into my bloodstream when I got to high school.
Well, that's only in Seattle, Jack. If you drive through Seattle, that will happen to you.
That will happen. Right. They will force it actually through your car. They have
through your car window. Yes. Yeah.
Well, you can't. You have to have your windows up. Come on. They're going to blow heroin into you. And you have to have the air recycling in your car air conditioning, or else the heroin gets in. But so I think we assumed that the DARE program went away, most of us, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Until I saw some people outside of a Best Buy, like same, trying
Best
to
Buy,
promote.
Yeah.
Did you see that? Wait, you saw DARE people outside of a Best Buy also?
Yeah, it was the Best Buy. Yeah, DARE people stand outside of the Best Buy. I don't know if they have like there's a contract where
a
they
deal,
work together.
Right.
Yeah, but that's where I saw DARE people too.
I've seen DARE people outside two Best Buys before with like same. Trying to get you to sign something, and all I said was like, y'all are what the fuck? I was like, nah, man, I'm here for
where the
keyboard.
Hell did y'all come from?
Yeah. I was like, I'm here for a mouse pad, now leave me the fuck alone.
So
yeah
I mean, there's obviously a epidemic of overdose deaths, like the thing that Pee Wee Herman was saying in that PSA that we listened to up top is that was not true of crack. Like, crack didn't have like a epidemic of ODs, I don't think, but it did. Like, that is happening with fentanyl. Like, fentanyl is causing a massive spike in overdoses, like, and you don't know if there's too much, and people like that does seem to be like the thing that they told us about drugs in the 80s has absolutely come true.
It's called manifesting.
Yeah.
They
manifested this.
Yeah. It might not be this one, but one will happen, and we will go fucking hog wild over this shit.
Yes. So they've decided, okay, this is real. No more fucking around. let's go back to that idea that was proven to not work and was just a way to get money, to funnel money to cops.
Right.
Essentially. Mm. Yeah. So the DARE program is being brought back to several school districts following a prolonged absence, this time with a specific focus on fentanyl. Doesn't seem like they've learned anything from the first time. Like the thing that people say was wrong with the DARE program in the first place, first of all, that it was cops
going into classrooms. Yep.
Yeah.
That part.
Second of all, they were doing it too early. They were targeting kids who weren't really, they're trying to like get it in kids' brains before like drugs were a real thing to them.
Yeah.
And it's just like, that's why it didn't work for me.
My drug was Power Rangers. At
yeah,
eight.
Right.
Like, I have no idea what a crack pipe is, you know?
Yeah,
so, totally. Or like, yeah. I knew it from a movie, but like, other than that, right. I was like, yeah, I mean, I've seen New Jack City, but
yeah.
that's not how I live. So
mm-hmm. yeah.
What, because mm-hmm. I think I was in fifth grade.
Yeah, same. I was probably in like fourth or fifth grade when they started pushing DARE down my throat.
And I just remember being like, this is, if anything, you're educating me on how dope drugs are.
Yeah.
Right.
That's all that was. That was like mm-hmm. my first real conversation about drugs where like the cop brought drugs into the classroom and we passed it around. It
looked, you smell that pipe? That's the worst smell you're ever going to smell. I remember him saying that. I was like, that smells good. That smells fine.
You're actually setting me up for failure, but go on.
Yeah, no, 100%.
Yeah.
I didn't realize it was created by the LAPD chief of police, Daryl Gates,
baby.
Who, his thoughts on recreational drug users is that they should be taken out and shot.
Mm.
So,
Okay,
humane approach to drug abuse.
He was Duterte before Duterte.
Yeah. Duterte got his shit from
Daryl Gates, dude.
The Johnny Appleseed of the DARE program. But at its height, DARE was being taught at a whopping 75% of schools. By 1998, it was reportedly costing taxpayers $600 million a year.
Thanks.
Yeah.
And
that is wild.
The presentations were just full of racist dog whistles, or just not dog whistles, just racism, like pointing to the broken black family as the source of the drug crisis.
Yeah. Going to a predominantly white school, have the officer be like, Miles, you know about that?
Yeah. Yeah. Does your parents, your family? Yeah. You're like, I have no idea what this is.
I always see your mom picking you up.
Where's
your dad at?
wish dad. You're like, man, get out of my life. But no, the thing that always bugs me about DARE was like, it's like the gum theory. I don't know if you all are familiar with I call it the gum theory. It may not be real, but I think about it. It's like when you tell kids to not chew gum in school, they're gonna chew gum because you're telling
the whole
them not.
Underground gum racket.
Yeah, there was a whole school. Like, I was the girl that was bringing the gum to school to give to everybody. Yeah. Like, what are you? So like, DARE was always like, it was so dumb to me because I'm going, you're telling kids not to quote unquote do something, and all you're doing is you're just piquing their interest. But yes, it was very much riddled in anti-blackness, and that is something that I've always had an issue with when it comes to this program.
You're paying the least cool, least trustworthy people in your community to come into school and talk to the part of your community that most despises them.
Right. And like, they put drugs on people. They put drugs on people.
Yeah.
So how are you going to tell? Yeah, I don't know. I've always had issues with DARE. I've always had issues with the police. But I will say very openly that I think DARE is just a way to make black people look worse than what the world already does. So
reinforce like the police perspective on what drug use even
policing.
Is. It's black people mostly. Mm-hmm. And then also like getting kids like snitch on their parents and shit like that. It's like absurd.
They have, tell so me I where the drugs this. Are. Yeah.
I remember them having a box that you put anonymous notes into, the DARE box. And then at the end of the class, the DARE officer would read the questions. And this was just a thing that smartasses used to, like,
be funny,
make them read stupid shit. But yeah, apparently it ended like that. That DARE box resulted in children like narking on their parents and being removed from their own homes by social services because they revealed that their parents were taking drugs, aka smoking a little bit of pot.
Wow.
So really cool problem solving there. Yeah. Creating fucking just horrible situations.
But like to Dr. John's point, like it's like verifiable that DARE did fuck all to prevent kids from using drugs, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. The stats are officially in and it either had no effect or made children slightly more likely to use drugs and alcohol at an early age.
I'm telling you, it did, because I legitimately wanted to smoke PCP because of what the DARE officer told us.
Yeah.
He said, I'm not joking, I'm here with my fucking best friend.
It's not funny, but it's so funny.
I know, but this is my fucking 10, like my 11-year-old brain, right?
Same.
Officer, first of all, the first thing we always ask him at the top of every DARE class was, can we hold your gun?
Yeah.
He never, and he was like, no, there's no way. But we asked it every time. He's like, you guys have to stop asking. Like, well, can you pull it out and show us the bullets? And he's like, no. He's like, we have to get going. He's like, what is that? And then, like, we have kids who, like, new guns, and he would always get annoyed. But so he's talked about this, like, so we're going to talk about PCP, angel dust, shit like that.
He said, I got this exact same speech.
Right.
That's crazy.
He said he went to a call at a Jack in the Box where a guy had just beamed up, smoked some PCP, and was fighting the police there. And they needed backup. He said when he got there, this guy who smoked PCP lifted a fucking dumpster above his head.
I remember that story.
And threw it at a cop car.
Yeah.
And me and my friends were all like, holy shit. We were like, yes. Are you for
superpowers.
Real?
Superpowers.
Yeah. We're like, how does it give you strength? Like, how does it give you strength? He's like, I'm not sure. It's like the drugs duty. It's like, but then like, we're like, what is it? Like your muscles, like, could you work? Like, I remember asking shit, like, if you worked out on PCP, would you keep that strength? And he was so, again, irritated by my curiosity around PCP induced superhuman strength. But yeah, he just got mad. He's like, guys, this is not a cool thing. And and it's funny that everybody heard this version of PCP gives you superhuman strength.
Yeah.
To the point where, like, YouTube came out. I was scouring YouTube for footage of somebody on PCP with that kind of strength. Never found it. And I was like, was this cop lying to me?
And he was.
You believe that shit?
Yeah.
This cop lying. And so as the stats are coming out, the DARE program is doing their own research, you know, and they're like, all right, well, we're going to get the DOJ to fund this study to see what the, like, what actually happened, what's actually going on here.
Right.
And a month later, for the first time in memory, the DOJ refused to publish a study it had funded for the first time ever.
Wow.
Because it found that the DARE program was useless and was taking money away from programs that actually worked. Behind the scenes, DARE went ballistic and they just kept saying this one, like every time they get attacked, the DARE program is like, criticizing DARE is like kicking your mother or saying that apple pie doesn't taste good. And then like a decade later, they were criticized or like proven to be fraudulent again. And their response was, it's like kicking Santa Claus to me. We're as pure as the driven snow. So,
we're as pure as the Colombian cocaine we put in front of children week
pure
in and week
Colombian
out.
Colombian flake.
I just want to know where the money went. Like, there was a lot of money that was being moved in the 90s around DARE, and I'm just wanting to know where it went.
Right, right, right.
To police, to corrupt cops.
I wonder, but where, like, did it go into some, like, benevolent police fund, I wonder? Or it was just, like, if you got that DARE gig, they're like, oh, shit, man, you're off street beat? Yo, you're just doing fucking DARE classes? Oh, that's a gig right there.
They were confiscating luxury cars like Porsches and BMWs and turning them into DARE vehicles, like, with a DARE decal on it that they got to drive around. They were like yeah.
Whoa,
I think it becomes pretty apparent who's winning here, though. You know what I'm saying?
Right. And then a kid's like, wow, the police department buys you guys cars. Like, no, we can't afford that. Drug dealers get rich enough to buy cars like this. And then you're like, oh, okay, that's the wave.
Yeah.
In reality, they were doing the same exact thing that drug dealers were doing.
Right. 100%. 100%.
They were selling you something. It's ridiculous.
But amazingly, Dare still uses the Dare box. Like, they still have the write down questions for cops, folks. It's anonymous, purely anonymous. Psych, we're actually going to investigate your parents if you say they know what any of these things are.
Right.
That smell familiar to you? Oh, yeah? And where to? Like, I could totally see being like, oh, yeah, I know what that smell is. That's weed. And then being like, well, yeah, how do you know that? My parents? Like,
yeah.
You know, like, just fucking panicking and throwing your parents under the bus?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I was at a reggae festival recently. That's why I know. Next question. No questions. I need a lawyer, officer.
No further questions, Your Honor.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Dr. John Higgins, such a pleasure, as always, having you on the Daily Zeitgeist.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Where can people find you, follow you, hear you, all that good stuff?
See you live.
All of the things. So you can see me. I've been getting this question a lot. So a lot of people, I'll say this and then I'll say what I'm going to say. A lot of people come up to me and they go, I know you. And I go, no, you don't. You think you know me, but you do not know me. What you do know me is from Netflix. I have been on a Netflix show. So if you want to watch my episode of Nailed It, it is season 5, episode 4.
Wow.
I get this thing a lot. A lot of people think that they know me and I'm like, no, you don't. It was Netflix. I was on Nailed It. So there's that for folks who want to go do that. But otherwise, you can find me online at Dr. John Paul, DrJonPaul. And then you can also go to my website at www.drjohnpaul.com. I'm doing a lot of advocacy work, especially media advocacy around what's happening to a lot of our queer youth. I don't know if anyone knows, but queer youth are being targeted. They are being, specifically trans kids are being targeted. There are a lot of different policies that are going into order about basically them being outed. And so I just wanted to make sure that folks know that I'm doing the work around that. And then also you can find me at Black Fat Femme Pod, where we're talking a lot about how to protect specifically Black trans queer youth. You can find me over on the iHeart Network. And then, October 11th, it is National Coming Out Day. It's going to be me, Travell Anderson, Char Jocel, and Xavier DeLow from the XD podcast. So come check us out. We're at the Elysian Theater. Tickets are selling quickly, so buy your ticket. They're only $15. And then other than that, that's where
and
I
that's
am.
In LA for LA people. If you know, or if you're in the surrounding area, that is for the LA SoCal folks. Yeah, make sure you get your ticket.
Yay.
Get there. Amazing. Is there a work of media that you've been enjoying besides your episode of Nailed It?
Yeah, I think a work of media that I have been enjoying. I've just been enjoying kind of watching entertainment implode. So I've been watching a lot of Twitter people basically going off about what's happening around the SAG and the WGA. And so, I think the funniest tweet that I have found, there was a woman who had tweeted something and had said that she's excited to see Bob Iger in a couple of weeks in a meeting. And that tickled me. Like, she was just really excited to see him because obviously they won what they were asking for. And Bob Iger was a big issue with that. So. But just watching people talk shit about SAG and WGA on Twitter, that has been my thing.
There you go. Miles, where can people find you? Is there a work of media you've been enjoying?
Find me on the internet at Miles of Gray. If you want to hear more of this booming voice and Jax, you could check out Miles and Jack Got Mad Boosties. We talk about the NBA. And if you want to hear this voice.
Ask us to remove a Stalin joke from this week's episode. So that's the type of show you got over there.
You know,
if you want to check it out.
Basically, if you know anything about us, we like to pull up from the logo, and to see what happens all the time, every week, week in and week out. But also check me out on 420 Day Fiance with Sophia Alexander, where I talk 90 Day Fiance and The Good Thief. All 8 episodes are out, so check that out. A thing I like is I found the tweet or the video of Dana Perino at the debate telling everybody to pretend this is Survivor. I'm just going to play this for you because it's absurd. And at the end of the day, like, all of the candidates are like, for some reason, they were like, this is too far for us. Backing Donald Trump, fine. But asking us to write on a notepad who we dislike the most, we're not going to do it. But here's Dana Perino actually saying this out loud to candidates at a fucking debate.
But we only have a few minutes, and candidates, it's now obvious that if you all stay in the race, former President Donald Trump wins the nomination. None of you have indicated that you're dropping out. So, which one of you on stage tonight should be voted off the island? Please use your marker to write your choice on the notepad in front of you. 15 seconds starting now. Of the people on the stage, who should be...
Nikki Haley?
Are you serious?
Yeah, she was. And they're like, nah, fuck that.
They wouldn't do it?
No, they wouldn't. It was a bridge too far for them somehow. I would have just loved to see them.
They're still trying to pretend they're serious people.
Yeah. Bergram would have been the easy choice. Nobody's, nobody's standing up for him.
Right. Mm-hmm. Amazing. Some tweets I've been enjoying. Emily Murname tweeted, "Babe, what's wrong? You've barely chugged your Eggo brunch in a jar Appalachian sipping cream." With a photograph of a product that is not Photoshopped, as far as I can tell. And the response is people are like, yeah, I saw that on the shelf at
real
store. Mm-hmm. Eggo brunch in a jar, waffles and syrup, cream liqueur.
Wait, this is real?
It's real.
This is real.
You can
Appalachian sipping cream.
Mm-hmm.
What the fuck is
waffles and syrup cream liqueur?
Oh, man.
Miles.
Just when I thought I couldn't get any lower.
Miles, you have to do it for the people.
I'm on my way. Say less, fam. Because, we're getting mashed on Eggo brunch in a jar, Appalachian sipping cream in it.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I'm going wild with this one. You said it's at BevMo, John?
Yeah, you can get it at BevMo.
God, this is so bad.
I'm
literally going to leave right now and go get that shit. Because I don't even know what to say. Don't even say.
The product alone, mixed with the fact that it is liquor exclusively designed to be drunk with breakfast, is so good. Like that, just a level of just full blown knowing, just giving up. Just give up juice,
Give up juice. Yeah, let me get some give up juice real quick.
Can I get some of that give up juice real quick?
You absolutely can.
And then @warm_hole tweeted, "Your baby is crying because it wants a cigarette." And that's just important to remember. You can find me on Twitter @Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter @DailyZeitgeist. We're @TheDailyZeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com. Where we post our episodes and our footnotes. We link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as a song that we think you might enjoy. Miles, what is a song that you think people might enjoy?
I found the official website of this thing, and they have some of the most disgusting recipes to use this Eggo brunch in a jar to make cocktails.
Ugh.
There's one that's you need Fernet to make. I don't know. This is too much.
Appalachian sipping cream suggests a legacy, that this is a tradition unlike any other. Appalachian sipping cream.
Yeah, apparently it's this place distillery makes, they made their own unbranded Appalachian sipping cream. So, yeah.
I appreciate it.
They got butter pecan, they got dark coffee, they got eggnog, they got Eggo dog. This is, okay, I found a new thing to be completely intrigued by. let's see, some music though. Here's some music I'm actually intrigued by. This is the artist Akofa Akusa, A-K-O-F-A, A-K-O-U-S-S-A-H. She is, I believe, from Togo. And does people describe as kind of African folkloric funk. This is an artist who had their heyday in the 70s. And this track is called Kimumbu, K-I-M-U-M-B-U. And there's just some great guitar playing. Her voice is fucking dope. And just some, I just like that combination of African folkloric funk. And this is it. So check this one out. Kimumbu by Akofa Akusa.
All right. Well, the Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That is going to do it for us this week. We are back over the weekend with the weekly Zeitgeist, a recap of some of the highlights, if in case you missed them from this week's episodes. And then on Monday, to kick off a whole new week with a trending episode, Monday late morning, early afternoon. Tell you what you missed over the weekend. What's a trend in? Miles and I tell you what we think is overrated and underrated. Oh, yeah.
And maybe Eggo brunch in a jar might make it.
Might be. We might have some product reviews, folks.
Oh, boy.
All right. We will talk to y'all then.
I'm like
have a great
stretching
weekend.
My body in preparation to even sip it. It's so weird. It's like giving me a reaction. All right. Later, y'all.
Bye.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Happy Pride from Tomboy X. We just dropped our Pride 24 collection. Queer founded, queer run, and creating size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies. So you feel comfortable in your own skin. Visit TomboyX.com to shop.
Guys, customer service is essential to your business success. And for faster, smarter customer experience, you can turbocharge your CX results with CXone, the world's most complete customer experience platform from NICE. It's never been easier for organizations of all sizes around the globe to create extraordinary customer experiences. With the scalability and flexibility of the cloud, you can power up your business goals like never before. So don't get left behind. Find out more today at nice.com. That's nice.com.